the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. We're going to just start there. You remember, it's been a few weeks ago now. We taught on the subject of the Antichrist, and we're going to go back, kind of review that a little bit and continue that, probably finish that today. It's just something that I felt like it would be good for us to have some information on and some Bible facts, and what the Bible says about it, because this is going to, of course, we spent some time at the beginning of these messages on the 70th week, which we're looking forward to. Not we are looking forward to, but it's in the near future, we believe, right after the rapture of the church. As soon as the church is raptured, caught up, then this 70th week will take place. We refer to it as the tribulation period. It's 7 years of tribulation. And the Antichrist is the one that basically is going to be the one who is overseeing the world at that time. He thinks he is anyway, with the help of Satan. And so anyway, I just wanted to just spend some time and kind of just get this in your mind, because this is going to be one of the most, in fact, I probably should say the most horrible time on earth that has ever been. So we've got to remember that. That's that's got to stir our hearts to getting people ready for the rapture. We've got to have our hearts stirred toward that, because folks, there is multitudes and multitudes out there that is not saved, and if Jesus would come today, they would go into the tribulation period. You've got that kind of in your mind. You understand that. So, and the reason I'm, you know, saying this and stressing this is if you'll keep that in your mind and understand that Jesus Christ could come any day. He could come today. Okay? We don't have to wait on anything else to happen. Jesus could come and call his people out to be with him, up to be with him, excuse me, and to be with him forevermore. But that could happen today. And if that happens today, then the tribulation period begins very soon. And I'm just saying to you, nobody wants to go through what is called the tribulation period. Nobody. There's just all through the scriptures, 6th chapter on through the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation is a description of it. And it's just a horrible, terrible time. And I'm just trying to say those things basically to try to stir your heart to doing your best to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out so we can get people saved and ready when Jesus comes again. The world basically today is looking and it's searching for someone, some superhuman man that could come and lead the world and bring it under utopia and everything will be just right. Well, that man is going to appear, supposedly going to appear in the we believe near future, right after the rapture of the church. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some scriptures in the 7th chapter of Daniel. We won't be reading lengthy portions, but I want you to just listen. 7th chapter of Daniel, I'm going to read the 7th and 8th verse. He says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that was before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." This is one of the names for the Antichrist, is the little horn. "And he said, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. This is a picture of the, when it talked about the fourth beast. I think we've mentioned this before, but he gives us in the book of Daniel four kingdoms that's going to be. All four of those has already been here. That's the Babylonian, and that's the Media-Persian, and that's the Greek, and that's the Roman. And the Roman is a continuation which will rise up. We're seeing that in the European area right now. They'll rise up again, and they will be that terrible fourth beast that the Antichrist will rule. Okay, if you kind of just kind of got that, that's what we're looking. That's what we're looking toward. So then you go over in the last part of that chapter, over in let's start reading here at verse 21. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Remember this, in the tribulation period, the Christians are not going to win many battles. There's going to be multitudes and multitudes of them that will be beheaded for their faith in Christ. Now that's important you remember that, because, you know, if you're under the threat of being put in a guillotine and having your head chopped off, how many people is going to stand for their faith? You understand what I'm saying? You see, this all sounds fine. Yeah, you know, we'll get to that. No, no, your life is at stake. You see? You understand that? And he says, and until the Ancient of Days, and that's, of course, is our Lord, came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. This is something we can't take time to go through all of this, but that is something that's going to happen. He's going to devour out of the ten horns, the ten kingdoms, he's going to devour three of them. And he goes on, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times. And that's speaking of the 3.5 years of the tribulation period, probably the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, over in chapter 8, in verse number 23, he says in chapter 8, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance. Again, that's another name that's indicating this Antichrist, this king of a fierce countenance. And he says, understanding dark sentences shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. You remember that. It's not by his own power. His power will be great, but it's not by his own power. We're going to find out over in the book of Revelation that his power is from Satan, completely from Satan. So remember that this is going to be a powerful, powerful individual. And he said, he shall devour wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. First, he's going to bring peace, okay? He's going to start off with peace. And he says he will destroy many with this peace. And he says he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, which is Jesus, but he shall be broken without hand. Now, I love it when God does that. He said, sure, he'll rise up against the prince, but he's not going to win. No, he'll be broken without hand, you see. So this, again, God just lets us know that this is this man called the Antichrist. We refer to him as the Antichrist, the leader of this fourth beast or this kingdom in the end times. Okay, now let's go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. And that is the second chapter. Let us begin reading. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or to be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You know, once again, in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelations, we're showed this, that he will one day sit in the temple in Israel, and as God, wanting to present himself as God. So again, kind of remembers this, and look at that name he's called in the third verse. He's called the son of perdition. And I think that's important. I think I shared that with you, but the son of perdition speaks about the damnable waste or destruction. It's a horrible, horrible thing. There's another man in the scriptures that is referred to as the son of perdition. And I think I did share that with you. We will go, maybe, yeah, let's just do that now. Let's go over to the book of John, the 17th chapter of the book of John. And I will start reading at verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Of course, this is Jesus Christ speaking here. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Here he refers to Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition. Now, I remember, I think I told you, whenever weeks ago it was, that we just report, you decide. We're not trying to tell you that Judas is the Antichrist, but there is some interesting facts in the scripture that just kind of puts the two together. And I just want to give you the facts. He is the only one that he's referred to besides Satan as the Antichrist, as the son of perdition. And these are just interesting facts that you ought to remember in your mind. And there's some other things that we will share with you here that maybe will just kind of help clear some things. Not only is he called the son of perdition, but in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 11. God sends in chapter 11, maybe we covered this, but he sends two witnesses. This is at the during the tribulation period, I believe at the beginning of the tribulation period. And he sends two witnesses. He said in verse number 3, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Once again, that's 3.5 years. I believe this begins at the first of the tribulation period, and for 3.5 years, they are on this earth being God's witnesses. Okay? And then he says in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, and again, I love that, because they will not be harmed till God says, I'm done with them. They're finished. And so he says, when they have finished their testimony, the beast, notice, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, the question I ask is, how did he get there? He's in the bottomless pit. He ascended out of the bottomless pit. Correct? That's what the scripture says. And so, again, when did he go there? I'm going to go back to the book of Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts, for just a moment here. Chapter 1, verse 25. Here we're talking about, and well, let's read verse 24. Chapter 1 of Acts, verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgressions fell, that he might go to his own place. Once again, I just want you to remember that God said in his word that Judas went to his own place that I know of. He's the only one in the scriptures that it is said that he went to his own place. He's also called the son of perdition. And also, and then I want to show you over in John, the 6th chapter, we'll just swing around here for a little while. Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read to you the last two verses of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. It said in verse 70, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he said, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. In that, notice that I chose 12, and one of you, he said, is a devil. Again, I think this is very important. I think God put those things in there for us. To understand. Now, I want to go over to the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. 22nd chapter, the book of Luke, and I want to read to you the first three verses. Now, the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then listen to these next few words. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, when I read that, that Satan literally entered into him. You know, through the scriptures, we know that the demons, are in individuals throughout the scriptures, and Jesus certainly cast out a lot of those. But, there's a difference between Satan himself and demons. You know, I've always said it, I kind of feel that way. Satan never had me to worry about too much. He could send a demon or two and take care of me. But I want to just tell you, he entered in. The Bible says that. Satan entered in to Judas. That's an awesome thing. What a terrible, terrible thing. But anyway, again, just trying to share with you what the Bible says, Bible facts of what it says. And he ties the two together more than just one place. I'm really not trying to get you to believe that's who it is, but I'm just trying to say, keep those things in connection. Scripture truths are scripture truth. Okay? And what the Bible says is always, always true. So you go over now to the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want to show you something here. Verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. He gives the overall look at the beast, and here's what he says. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. Now, there is some people who teach that the beast here is in reference to the empire or the Roman Empire, but that could not be. And the reason it could not be is because he said it was and is not. At the writing of John in the Revelation here, the Roman Empire was at its height of power and glory. But he said it was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So again, I say, I believe it's someone in connection who has been on this earth before and is now in the bottomless pit. Now, I'm not trying to show you anything except what the Bible says. Now, listen to what it says in verse 9. Let me see here. Well, let me finish reading that. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, thank God for that, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that what? That was, is not, and yet is. And he says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman setteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now, let me show you something else. Let's turn to the chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 19, and I want to begin reading verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse and against his army. This is when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of these 7 years, and he comes back and he makes war with the Antichrist and his armies, which they're gathered in around Jerusalem. I said around Jerusalem. And he makes war with them. Okay? And he says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And boy, I don't know. I just love it the way God does it in his word. And he just simply says, and the beast was taken. No problem. He just takes care of the beast. He said he was taken, and he said, and with him the false prophet. Now, we've not talked a lot about the false prophet, but in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, we get a picture of both of these. The false prophet is like the religious leader, and he's the one who's going to be able to perform many miracles and to provide all kinds of things that would be above natural. And he says, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Once again, I just want to say to you, it's appointed once unto man to die, and then cometh the judgment. And the Bible says here, the false prophet and the beast were cast alive into the lake of fire. And I believe the reason for that is they had already died once. And they brought up out of the bottomless pit. Because notice the next verse when it says, and the remnant, this is the armies that were with them, all of the armies that was with them, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That sword is the word of God. Jesus Christ will speak and they will be devoured. But notice they were devoured and they died and their bodies, of course, eaten by the beast of the earth or the fowl of the air. Now, again, I say to you, it distinguishes between the false prophet and the beast. They were cast alive into the lake of fire. That, to me, is important. He divides them. You know, and so again, I just simply say to you, you don't have to take this and say, boy, the Antichrist, we know he's Judas. I'm just saying God connects the two throughout the scriptures. And I'm not sure he won't be known as that. If it is him, he won't be known as that. He will grow up somewhere in this world and come to power and be given the power of Satan. And again, I just want you to know something. The Antichrist is a terrible, wicked individual empowered by Satan himself. And tribulation period is something, folks, you and I can thank God. If we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we can thank God that we'll never have to worry about it. Thank God for that. And I should think that possibly you know, I was going to read it. I don't have time to read it on chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. The Bible tells them. In fact, I might just share a little bit with you here. Let's see, over in verse number 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Just let me say this. You don't want to be a part of the lake of fire. Know Jesus as your personal Savior. Know Him and thank God every day that you have that wonderful, wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then also let it stir your heart. Please let it stir your heart that those around us need Jesus. Amen. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, thank you again. You're good to us. You're gracious and merciful and loving, and thank you. Thank you for the wonderful salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, help us to be constantly mindful of the fact that multitudes around are lost and need Christ. We pray that you'll help us to get the message to them. In Jesus' name, amen.